jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello.
Good evening.
And welcome. And yes, here we are again. It is that time, of course. 9 o'clock on a Saturday night can only mean one thing. It is jumping in the best in modern and contemporary jazz with myself, H.
And me, Chris. Yes, welcome along to this escape edition of Jumping In. Yes, we're out, but that doesn't mean that you can't stay in. But if you must hit the town, and don't pretend you didn't go last night anyway, then don't forget you can subscribe to the Jumping In podcast to catch up whenever the fancy takes you. So, besides finding it difficult to head straight for the wine section in the supermarket without zigzagging for half a mile first, what special offers have been helping you feel free this week, H?
Ah, yeah, well, we're thinking about jazz in Britain with Mike Taylor, some cracking stuff coming out there. A bit uneasy with the latest and greatest, I think, from Vijay Iyer. And also, we might be thinking about live from the Prison Nation.
And for me, well, we turn up on the first page, lose our sense of direction, and start in the Moon Gardens. Here's Leo Genet and the Panoramic Project. We'll be right back. Coming together in Paris back in 2013, the Panoramic Project. It's a collective of 11 musicians under the leadership of trumpeter and composer Leo Janet. Offering his audiences landscapes of sounds, colourful songs and musical travels, Leo says he likes to present a sensory and dreamlike experience. Although I say with Moon Gardens Part 1, I was wide awake. Nice project this, really engaging writing, good solos and playing throughout. The album is called Nature Inside and came out earlier in the year.
Very fine. It is too. Yeah, I'm enjoying that. It reminded me of something. I couldn't put my finger on what it was, but I'll think about it in the next few minutes, see if it comes back. Good stuff, though. Worth checking that one out. As indeed is this one. Vijay Iyer has been producing some really quality, academic, quite sort of cerebral music for some years now. He's on the ECM label with his latest Uneasy, with a sort of new trio. He stresses that it doesn't necessarily mean, I think it was with Marcus Gilmore before, wasn't it? He just says, oh, you know, he sort of almost sort of changes trio. He might change back again. He's, I think, fairly fluid. He moves with the music, uses the musicians, I think, he wants for the music and so on. So he's with a fairly stellar trio now, Vijay on piano, Linda Mahan Oh on bass, and she seems to be played with anyone who's anyone these days. We saw her at Ronnie Scott's with Pat Metheny Quartet a while back, and yeah, not many people she hasn't played with at the moment. And the equally wonderful, if perhaps not quite as well known, Tyshan Sori at the drums. It's great stuff. It's been getting some cracking reviews. We're going to hear the second track on the album. It's called Combat Breathing.
Thank you.
Yeah, been enjoying that one very much indeed. Been on the turntable, indeed a turntable is a CD player, in the slot, in my case, on CD transport, for the last day or so. Yeah, really good. Very different in places. Great lineups from fantastic drumming. Quite free in places. In other ways, very organised. And remarkably melodic in many ways. A real good mix of stuff. Some originals. He also does takes on things like Night and Day, which is the next track on the album. Actually, a cracking track as well. Really good take on that. His words within say, maybe since the word contains its own opposite, that's uneasy, I assume. It reminds us that the most soothing, healing music is often born of and situated within profound unrest. As I say, another deep thinker like Brad is our VJ. Conversely, the most turbulent music, he goes on, may contain stillness, coolness, even wisdom. With this collection of uneasy pieces composed over a span of 20 years, we pay tribute to both the loud and the quiet, the quick flurry, the slow rise, the hurricane and its eye, the uprising and its steady dream of abolition. Took the words right out of my mouth. Well worth checking out.
Yes. All that aside, it is actually an extremely good album and fits very nicely in the ECM canon. And thanks to Crossover Media for firing that through to us. Very nice indeed. Now, a German saxophonist who I've been enjoying of late, Richard Ebert and his quartet. They certainly know how to make an arrival, or as they might say, ein Reichstag, from their latest album, Departure. Let's hear Arrival. Here they are.
Thank you.
and Reichstag, or Arrival from the Richard Ebert Quartet. Really nice, relaxed vibe on the album, helped along the way by the Fender Rhodes. We say it's never gone away, has it really, despite which way you perform it, or indeed whether you have a virtual version or not, but a really nice sound, an easy manner of the rhythm section as they work through a series of all original compositions. Starting back on the sax at the age of 10, Richard won a state music competition in 2006 and got to spend a year in London, where he studied under our very own Martin Speak, a fine player in his own right. The quartet's made up of Matthias Nikolaus on piano and Rhodes, Christoph Hutter on bass, Patrick Neumann on the drums, and Richard Ebert on the sax.
Good stuff indeed. You're listening to Jumping In, of course, here on Mike's Radio on a Saturday night with myself, H, and brother Chris, as well, bringing you all the best sounds in modern and contemporary jazz. Don't forget, in the next few weeks, got a few great interviews coming your way. The marvellous, the great, I should say, Joe Lovano, no less. Been having a chat with him whilst we were still in lockdown. And he had exciting plans coming forward and been very busy. New one out in ECM as well, of course, which we've already featured on the programme.
Tommy Smith 2 coming up.
And next week we'll be sharing a little bit of a lovely chat we had with the wonderful bass player Mark Elias and Jane Ira Bloom, the brilliant specialist on the soprano sax, who perhaps is never as well known as I think she ought to be. I love her albums. Again, not everyone will have heard of her. I hadn't seen her playing this side of the Atlantic recently. I know she teaches a lot and... and has been recording, and they've done something in lockdown, the pair of them brought out. We have featured that, but we'll be playing a bit more from that album next week and some more of the music they've been associated with over the years. All that to look forward to coming up next week. For now, we've been enjoying as well on Bandcamp the wonderful Jazz in Britain, some great releases, re-releases coming out from some marvellous names. A wonderful one with Ian Carr, which we'll feature in the next week or two. But today, I thought we'd hear a little bit of Mike Taylor Quartet Mandala, pretty much the only known recording of this band. Wonderful stuff from John Heisman's tapes, I think it were. Mike on piano, Dave Tomlin soprano sax, Tony Reeves at the bass, John Heisman, who went on paraphernalia, Barbara Thompson, such like, of course, at the drums. Recorded live way back in the time. Let's have a listen to Half Blue.
Thank you.
live, as you can probably gather. You can probably also gather, if you didn't know already, that it was from John Heisman's archive, because I would guess that he had his microphone closest to the drums, because the drum's quite heavy in that mix there. And of course, it was just, you know, it was basically what guys did, didn't they? You'd record your own band to see what you sound like. You'd bring along your cassette or your reel-to-reel, whatever the case would in the 70s, would it be with this? In which case, you might have had a cassette, might do. You whack it down, then you probably put it closest to where you were, or wherever you could get it. Mike Taylor on piano, and there's the Mike Taylor Quartet Mandala, Half Blue, one of the wonderful albums on the reissues coming out via Bandcamp on the Jazz in Britain stamp. It's well worth checking out. Some cracking stuff there. A wonderful one from Neil Ardley live, Kaleidoscope of Rainbows, as he wanted it to be. And again, we will feature the Ian Carr, which has been getting great reviews as well in the weeks to come. I don't think we've played anything from that yet, but we certainly will do. Dave Tomlin, as I said, on soprano sax, Tony Reeves bass, John Heisman on the drums. It's from John's own archives, recorded live in Southend, I think it was, the Studio Club, Westcliff-on-Sea, Southend, Friday the 8th of January, 1965. Reel to reel, I would think, in 1965. But you check him out. Great stuff.
Yeah, great stuff indeed. A really good collection of tapes, mainly supplied by musicians in the various bands roundabout, some of them taken straight from the desk in bigger venues, and further Tubby Hayes in there. Can't go wrong with any of that. Now, a birthday boy for me, and looking back again, were he still alive, Joe Henderson would have been 84 today. With a distinguished career spanning nearly four decades, in the 70s he experimented with post-bop, fusion, electric and avant-garde, recording mainly for Milestone. He led successful groups with Herbie Hancock, Freddie Hubbard, as well as getting out on the road with Blood, Sweat and Tears. In the 80s, returning from teaching, he had a landmark trio recording with the State of the Tenor live at the Village Vanguard, which garnered great praise, and later became available, the two volumes, as a twofer. In the 90s, his Verve tribute series of recordings, Lush Life, So Near No Far and Porgy and Bess, not only got him a Jazz Album of the Year award, but also Grammy for the Best Jazz Performance. But let's go back to the very beginning with his Blue Note debut, Page One, and the classic Blue Bossa. Thank you.
This is Mark Elias, saluting Chris and H on Jumpin' In.
Thank you.
album, that one, Alonzo Demetrius. I think we would have heard more from him were it not for the pandemic. I must admit, his debut album, Live from the Prison Nation, it's called a form of personal protest against the prison industrial complex, it's listed as. And yeah, there are lots of, you didn't hear on that, but on other ones, there are various protest chants and snippets of interviews and such like mixed in to the music, very much using his music as an activist, as it were. Not the first in doing that, of course. Max Roach leaps to mind. Abby Lincoln, well, you name it. There's a whole host of them, aren't they? Continuing in that tradition. I have absolutely no doubt. Since he moved to New York, we'll be hearing more, hopefully, as lockdown eases, from Alonzo Demetrius. Terrific stuff.
And before that, we heard the Peerless Blue Bossa from Joe Henderson, Our Birthday Boy, still sounding as fresh today as it did when it first hit the turntable back in 1963. And you think it's odd listening to sometimes slightly longer tracks from that day, but you must remember a lot of those actually went onto jukeboxes, didn't they? In coffee shops and corner places for a hop around. Page One, still recorded as one of the finest hard bop albums ever released, and the relaxed Latin Blue Bossa. One of the most performed jazz standards still. And it should be with such a stellar lineup too. Trumpeter Kenny Dorham, who had been so struck with the prodigious talent of the then 26-year-old Henderson, invited him onto his own session for his Blue Note debut, Una Mass, earlier in the year. Butch Warren on the bass, drummer Pete LaRocca, and the pianist was just listed as etc. on the album. Any guesses?
Was it Herbie?
No, it could have been, couldn't it? But it was actually a young McCoy Tyner who had just signed to Impulse, and the label would not allow his name to go on there. But there we are, great stuff indeed.
Yeah, that's justice for you, isn't it? That's more or less it from this week's Jumpin' In. Join us, of course, same time, same place next week when we'll be having Alex and our talk with Jane Ira Bloom and Mark Elias.
And before we go, though, just time for Craig Taborn's latest release from his groundbreaking group Junk Magic. When they first released their self-released debut back in 2004, the mixing drum and bass, jazz, electronica, hip-hop, one journalist commented, "Is this what the future sounds like?" Well, nearly 20 years later for the follow-up album, Compass Confusion, I think it still sounds like the future. We'll leave you with Laser Beaming Hearts. See you next week.
Stay safe.